Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 112.
Let's go!
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston, we're singing our heart and for Boston, take 20 times a play. And ever with a right shot as big bombs and touch me no more in the market. For Boston, for Boston, our fun is on.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bash Brigade. I'm King Baby Duck.
And this is Anvil.
Sadly, Bluonic is unable to join us this week, as he is stuck at his job.
Job. He hates his job.
But not as much as his last one.
Where he was Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Mall Cop!
Alright, let's stop being funny now.
So I overheard that Manny Ramirez now has a new sponsoring gig.
Oh, no. We're not going to go down this road, are we?
Yes, we are. I heard he's sponsoring wife beaters.
Oh.
I saw the picture of him wearing one of those fine new ones from Nike.
Oh, man. I can't believe you actually did that. I thought we were going to leave that joke out of the show.
We did it with Jason Kidd.
Yes. And just because of the entire game, everybody was throwing wife beaters and yelling it. All those years ago when he was still in New Jersey Net.
Yep. But what happened to Manny Ramirez? I know we're not in sports yet, but what the fuck happened to him?
Steroids.
Steroids. Exactly. Because what happened? He got caught once, was suspended. He got caught second time.
And
he was like,
retired.
I'm done. I'm going to go up to Spain to work with my papa. Wasn't that the excuse that he had?
I have no clue. I don't pay attention to him.
Meaning, not anymore. But yeah, the real truth of the matter is, Manny Ramirez got arrested for, what was it? He slapped his wife.
Yes.
And she got knocked down.
Wait, we have to do this properly.
Okay.
He allegedly struck his wife. Remember, it is America, innocent until proven guilty.
Okay. But it's like the situation where it was, what was the other fighter and Tila Tequila?
Yeah, Tito Ortiz.
Tito Ortiz and Tila Tequila.
But like they said, had he decided to strike her, the damage would have been worse.
Yeah. I just can't imagine Manny, Red Sox version of Manny Ramirez doing something like this. LA Dodgers Manny Ramirez, on the other hand.
I think it was the Rays that did it.
You think it's the Roids?
The Rays. Remember he went down to Tampa Bay?
Oh, right. I keep forgetting that he went down to Tampa Bay because he was there so quickly.
Yep, and then he roided it again.
Yep. See, this is a very important lesson because not only do steroids hurt you physically, professionally, but it hurts you personally, too.
Truthfully.
And it hurts those around you that love you more.
Yes. I mean, myself as an athlete, I'm very disappointed.
Me too.
Because I see this way too much from athletes, and it bothers me.
And there are some sports that still find it okay, and that's the shocking part.
Well, like, you know, I said, you know, it bothers me, but truthfully, doing football, doing fighting, all that, I hate when people sit there and look at me, so do you juice? It's like, no. It's not allowed.
Right.
It's like, okay, it's not allowed. Do you?
No.
It's like, you know, just because, you know, other people do it doesn't mean I do.
Right. Now let me ask you something. This is a professional question. It revolves around GNC. Now, I know that GNC sells stuff that, like, helps you build muscle and gain, but is there anything that they actually sell at GNC that would be deemed illegal within the sports realm?
Yes.
Like what?
A lot of different things. Because in the sports realm, you have to remember, a lot of dietary products aren't allowed.
Like so? Like...
Off the top of my head, I can't think of the name of them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of different things. Ephedrine is banned.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
It affects your heart.
Okay, so it's more for...
A lot of products don't carry it that anymore. Because a lot of states started banning it itself.
Okay.
But this entire list of products... I'll have to see if I can get my hands on it again. Of what you're not allowed to take.
I'm just surprised, though, because they would still sell it legally in the stores.
Well, do you know what it is? Some of them are banned because they contain a masking agent, which could hide steroids and human growth hormones from the test.
From the drug test.
So, granted, they're not illegal to have. It's not allowed in sports.
Okay.
So, that's the aspect.
But GNC is technically a store that sells specifically to those in the sporting realm. So it's I'm surprised.
Well, not all sports do it.
Like bodybuilding or the World's Strongest Man contest and stuff like that?
Steroids aren't allowed, but a lot of the other stuff is.
Okay.
And truthfully, some people actually look at human growth hormones as legal.
I remember there was something about... Sylvester Stallone talking about how he took some when he was filming Rambo.
Yep.
And he was saying, no, this is all legal stuff that I was taking. It was to build up my mass so it could be like the original Rambo because, you know, for a time I wasn't, you know, up to my 100%. Now because of that, I am back to that.
Yep.
But I was surprised that he just openly admitted to taking something like that.
Hey, but it's true. I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger said he used steroids.
Yeah, but back in the 70s, he used
it. When it was still legal.
Right. And then in the 80s, when he was starting to do a lot more film and such, he stopped doing it. Yep. Because he saw how it was affecting him. Didn't he have, like, a heart attack?
I could not answer that question truthfully, so I'm not going to touch that one.
Okay.
I believe so, but I don't know. A lot of these products aren't illegal to own. It's just not allowed in our sports. Because they can give you an unfair advantage over your opponent.
Okay. I'm just surprised that they don't... do they at least, like, give you a list of things that you can and can't use?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of times it's just, you know, the name of the product and it's up to you to read the bottle.
Uh-huh.
But, you know what you can and you can't use.
Okay.
And truthfully, if you do mixed martial arts, talk to the people in your gym.
All right.
You know, your instructors can find out more for you.
Yes. Well, since we're on the subject of MMA, let's like move some things around. Okay. Let's talk about MMA because you went to two events. I went to one of those events.
Yep.
Let's first talk about Cage Titans United. This is an event that happened Saturday, September 10th down in Plymouth. This was the first time I've ever been to an MMA event, so I was not sure what to truly expect. I've watched it on television, but I've never been in the room with them.
I have to do it. Our friend Duck was as giddy as a schoolgirl.
Well, you get into it.
No. I mean before anything started. Okay, let me set the scene for everybody real quick.
Fine.
We got there. We got our press credentials. We made our way through. We filmed a quick little piece on it, which is going to be up soon.
Yeah. I just have it. It's just going to be a tiny little thing with him walking to the cage, just explaining some of the things. Because that's all we had time to film.
Yeah, I mean, we made our way down the hallway, down the steps. You know, it's only going to be a couple minutes long, but you'll get to see. But I brought the Duck through, and our friend Hammer, who was a member of Team Anvil.
Right.
He was with us.
He's a guy that might be coming on as a writer for us.
And he'll probably, you know, help me do a lot of these MMA events, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
If you watched last week's show, you actually saw him show up later in the show before we left to go to United.
Yep.
But We made our way down. They got a chance to see everything. And as the duck walks in with me, and I walk him right near the cage, he was like a little kid on Christmas. His face lit up. And he's like, whoa. And he's looking around at all the levels of people. And
right. Because I was surprised because you had told me that the last cage tying event, there were only a couple hundred people here. This one, there were actually,
The way the areas were set up was different. The Union 103 is a one-level setup.
Okay.
This place was a three-level. So, I mean, we easily had over 1,000 people at this event.
And the Plymouth Memorial Hall is a great venue. It's very nice. My one complaint, though, was the acoustics. I could not understand a damn word that anyone was saying. Either of the announcers or even the band that was playing in the background. I knew the songs, I just couldn't hear what the singer was saying.
You have to remember, this place was not built for this kind of stuff.
Right, this is built for, like...
This was an old meeting hall.
Yes, this is built to talk about bills and
new
laws to go into tact.
Yeah, it's built for the echo effect, not the acoustic effect.
Yeah.
And that's what they wanted when they built this place. But truthfully, you have to admit, it's nothing cooler than, you walk down through... You got past the guys at the front, mm-hmm. and showing up past, and you walk down that spiral staircase.
Yes.
And you're there, it's like, wow.
And like I said, a very beautiful venue. And speaking of beauty, there's always those gorgeous ring girls who are...
Come on, really?
I'm sorry. You kind of play that game of, is she or isn't she, with those skirts that they wear.
Dude. They're still people.
I know that, but still... It's just that high school mentality you kind of switch yourself back into.
I ain't gonna lie, I don't think like that on that one. I consider them friends.
Yeah.
I know I talk to one of them more than the rest, but...
Right. This is said in jest. Do not take it seriously. I do have much respect for these ring girls. Because it's very hard to figure out which round was which. I'm sorry. I can't believe one of them actually brought out the round one thing when it was round three.
It happens. There was a mix-up. Not everything falls perfectly. It's getting into things not falling perfectly.
Right.
So the event started, and there was some really good fights.
Yeah, the first one was Rusty Ryan versus Derek Shorey, which it was won by TKO at the three-minute mark.
All right, man. I'm not going to give that much information.
You're not?
You've got the computer in front of you. I speak from what I see.
Okay. So you speak from what you see. But I do want to touch on specifically on a couple of them.
Okay.
So one of them I do want to talk about. I believe it was the one between Rob Smith and Michael Robertson. These are two new fighters that came in there. And right in there, they start just... beating on each other. Suddenly, there was an illegal knee, and he had to stop the fight.
Yeah.
And it was caused by Mike. But then Rob retaliates, and he gets a TKO at the 1 minute 50 mark.
Yeah.
And just seeing him out there, just wailing away, and just beating him down, it looked like that this guy will have some sort of a good future here, at least in Cage Titan.
Yeah. I saw some really good fights. A lot of guys came in here, didn't seem prepared for a few of them, but
right,
it happened.
But then right after that fight was the 8-second fight.
Yeah. Well, for those that weren't there,
yes,
there was one referee who made 4 bad calls. 2 were back-to-back.
Yet the ref was named as Kenny Kwan.
Yes. He called one fight after 8 seconds, the next one was after 4. Our friend Eddie Lee was fighting for the amateur title, and he actually called the fight due to TKO while Eddie was standing. It's rare, but I don't feel, in my opinion, that was a horrible call.
It was, because he, like you said, he was still standing.
But I mean, all 4 bad calls that he made, because there were a few other ones. Like we said, the 4-second, the 8-second, mm-hmm. but... He's a referee, he makes the calls, and you have to stick by it.
Yes.
Now, one of the good fights that I actually enjoyed was the 185 Pro between Josh Mellon and this kid by the name of
Sloppy Joe Lamoureux.
Sutton, yeah, I didn't want to attempt the last name because I didn't want to insult him.
I know it's a French name.
But Sloppy Joe, now that's a good fighter right there. I can't wait to see more from him.
Yes.
But as usual, Cage Titans does a great job. Great venue. Great people.
And we have not one, but two new champions. We had that one where it was where Eddie Lee was stopped.
Yes. And then it was the fight between Bill Jones and Frank Forza.
Yep.
And Frank Forza beat Billy Jones for the title.
Mm-hmm. And while that was going on, there was another fight in the stands.
Which, you know, security and police quickly broke up and got the individuals out, so that's the important part.
The amazing thing was this was Frank's third professional fight within at least Cage Titan. Because he was originally 2-0, and Billy Jones was 9-4. And he managed to get it done right.
Yes. So all I'm going to say is Cage Titans does a great job. I can't wait for the next fight card.
Me too.
And, you know, we'll probably be there.
Yep. When was it again? Wasn't it like in November?
It might be in November. I've heard conflicting things. I just want to confirm before we put anything else out there.
Okay. Well, I'm going to just pull up the site just in case. See if there's anything listed. There just still has a United one, so... Yeah. I know that there is one coming up, I think, late October, early November, but when we have more information on it, we will let you know.
The last I heard was in early November, but then I also heard yesterday that it might be pushed to January.
Really?
So I want to wait and see what happens before we put other information out there.
Yeah.
I want to speak to the people with Cage Titans first.
Okay.
So, last night, I took a trip up to the Wonderland Ballroom in Revere.
Yep.
For AFO's The Perfect Storm. As you know, we put it out there for our friends, Team Perdelsa Ray.
Yep.
And basically, I went in there. You know, there were little miscommunications, things like that. But, you know, it got handled.
Mm-hmm.
Made my way around. Got a chance to go back. You know, met up with Team Perdelsa Ray. They had two of their guys going. They look great. Love working with those guys because they do fighting a true justice.
Okay. In
martial arts itself, this is one of the, you know, it's not just because I work with this group, you know, and I've done a bunch of stuff with them, but as a fighter, this is a gym that you want to fight for.
Yeah.
So, they let me partake in a lot of their stuff last night, which was really awesome. You know, I can't thank them enough. They actually, you know, accepted me in.
Yep.
But we got some really good fights. They had a grappling match, which I thought was awesome. Which is no striking, it's only ground grappling. Mm-hmm. And the DJ who was doing the music played the theme song to Mortal Kombat. Which, I'm sorry, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So, we had some good events. It happened, you know, a lot of things go. And truthfully, like I said, there was some miscommunications, things like that. But I will give it another shot down there.
Okay.
And probably, you know, see about checking out the next AFO and seeing how it goes.
Mm.
It was my first time working with AFO. It happens. So we'll see where we go.
Okay. So in hockey news, we finally have the Bruins on their first skate.
Yes.
Their first step towards another Stanley Cup championship, hopefully.
Knock on wood.
Yeah.
So basically, this morning they took ice, skated around, got warmed up, went through drills, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
The whole league's starting. Pretty soon we'll be talking hockey. It's coming to the end, you know, well, it's around the middle of September right now.
Yep.
We're thinking football, hockey, playoffs.
Yes.
Red Sox are in the chase.
Mm-hmm.
They won again yesterday against the Tampa Bay Rays to raise their wild card lead to 4. The Yankees lost yesterday, so we're moving closer towards that. We actually have another series against the Yankees. So if we can pick it up at this point, there's a chance that we still win the pennant.
Mm-hmm.
And who don't want to win the pennant?
Yeah.
So We're going to see a lot of different things come out, but come the end, most likely be the Sox and Yankees in the playoffs.
Yeah. And let's finally congratulate Tim Wakefield for finally getting win number 200.
That's right.
It took him a couple months, though, I think, didn't it?
No, this was his eighth try. But it's not like all of them were his fault. The bullpen blew a bunch, including the start before this.
Yep.
And this time, the offense refused to let the pitching ruin it.
Good.
Because the final score was 18-6, including two homers by Dustin Pedroia.
Yeah.
So, congratulations, Wake. You know, I think he's one of the better pitchers that I've seen in a while. And I love the story behind it. He got drafted by the Pittsburgh Pirates, told he'd never make it past Double A as a shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
So he learned the knuckleball and started to pitch. And now look what he's done. 200 wins as a Sox. And he's up there on a lot of all-time pitching for the Sox.
Yep.
So we'll probably see him in the Red Sox Hall of Fame one day. I don't know about the MLB Hall of Fame.
Uh-huh. But
the Sox will probably retire him or something.
Yeah. Probably at least his number will be retired.
Yeah.
Why don't we move along, keep within the sports realm, but also enter within the video game realm, because this past week, two soccer game demos came out.
Mm.
One for Pro Evolution Soccer 2012 from Konami,
mm-hmm.
and then EA's FIFA 12. So Anvil and myself had a chance to go hands-on with both of these demos and decide which of these looks like it's going to be the better game. And I figured let's split it up into categories. First of all, the graphics.
Okay.
I feel like, personally, both did a really good job with the presentation of these graphics. But I feel like in FIFA 12, they did a far superior job with the facial and crowd details.
Okay. With FIFA 12, in my opinion, everything was a lot crisper. It actually looked more real. In the Konami one,
yeah,
I felt like I was watching it from the blimp flying over the stadium.
Right.
And controlling it, forget about it.
Yes, the controls were also a hassle.
It's like to pass the ball, you had to hit like 12 buttons, and it's like, king, 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 king.
Whereas in FIFA 12, it's just one button. Here for a soft kick, here for a long kick, this one to pass. And
exactly.
Simplicity works in sports games. It works so much better because it's quick timing. It's not like if you're playing a first-person shooter where you can just hide in the bunkers and try to figure out which button does what and just go with that at ease. With a sports game, there's no second chances. Otherwise, you will have to actually restart the whole game again. And I feel like the folks at EA Sports understood that when they went and did the control scheme for FIFA 12.
Yes.
And I felt like overall, gameplay-wise, FIFA 12 did a much better job than Pro Evolution Soccer. Because in Pro Evolution Soccer, you only could choose from, what was it, four teams in the demo?
Yeah.
Whereas FIFA 12, you had six teams, not to mention a great tutorial mode, which taught you how to do everything beforehand.
Just remember one thing, though. FIFA offered you good teams, real teams. The other ones, you don't know much about.
Well, that's the European football circuit. And I will give them to them for that because they did a great job with getting all the European teams on that. Having said that, not only was the tutorial great in FIFA 12, but I love how there's a good practice mode before the actual game starts.
Yes.
It's you versus the goalie. And you're trying to figure out how to get it past them to make a goal. And you can do it from different angles as well, which is something I didn't find in the Pro Evolution Soccer demo. You can actually switch the camera angle. Yep. So if the spectator mode, or the blimp mode, as you called it, wasn't really helping you, you can switch it so you're much closer. You can still be above head, but more looking the long way than the wide way.
Well, see, what I liked about FIFA is, like you said, they give you the practice mode in the beginning, so I was actually able to practice learning how to kick.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got into the game, I was able to win it because I knew what I was doing.
Yep. But then, with Pro Evolution Soccer, okay, how do I play? We pause it. We go into the controls menu, and there's like 8 pages of different controls.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm super confused, because they're like, to slide is LB...
It was like
square.
L2BA.
Yeah, and then there was that one that was like RT...
Right trigger. So it'd be like right trigger, left trigger.
A, B, square, triangle. Like,
I think you're getting the PlayStation controls mixed up with the Xbox ones.
That's how horrible they made it. Is you actually had to take both controls and put them together. And for some reason there was a star.
Which was a star? I think that might have been one of the select buttons.
Yeah, to do star you hit like select or something. I'm like, what? So it made no sense to me.
Yeah. So I feel like between the two, FIFA 12, much superior.
I'll give FIFA 12 a 4.6.
Okay.
I'll give Konami negative zero.
Well, I'll give Konami's Pro Evolution Soccer a 1 out of 5, because like I said, I do like that they showcased a lot of the European teams on there. But for FIFA 12, same up there. I think I would give it more... closer to your score, I would say 4.4 out of 5, because there were a couple things in the tutorial mode that I was having trouble figuring out. Like, what was the one where you had to move with the opponent and stay in front of
him? Oh, you
like
box him out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had trouble doing that. Like, I was, okay, it's been 6 seconds. Why isn't moving on to
you
the next one?
You have to stay in the green.
Oh.
The green part is the distance that you have to cover. If you stay outside of the green, or if you leave for even a split second, you have to start it over.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll remember that for next time. So yeah, definitely check out FIFA 12. Maybe not so much for Pro Evolution Soccer. One of the other demos that I got to try out, and this was something I tried out last week, but we didn't have time to talk about it because of...
Running short on time to get to the event.
The new Blood Rain game, Blood Rain Betrayal. This is the third in the Blood Rain series, and it's the first on the current-gen consoles. Now, there is a bit of an issue. Not an issue for me, but I reckon it might be an issue with some of those that are fans of Blood Rain. They changed the whole look of the game. Instead of a third-person CGI title like it was, it's now an animated side-scroller. But it has a really cool comic book look to it. It kind of looks like... Have you ever seen the Witchblade comics?
Yes.
If you've ever read Witchblade, the look of that, that's how Blood Rain looks. This Blood Rain Betrayal game.
Well, I mean,
so it looks good.
Not too bad. See, comic books, I still remember from my childhood, so I still remember.
Yes.
Because, you know, what boy didn't have at least one comic book?
Yeah.
I still own one.
Mm. I have a bunch of them upstairs.
Mine's the awesomer one.
Which one was yours?
Death of Superman. I still have it in the wrapper.
Damn.
Mint condition, baby.
I remember when they used to have the WB store and they had the whole Superman section. Yep. I remember wanting to get that comic, but my parents wouldn't allow it because it showed the death of a beloved superhero.
Yep. My mom didn't want me to have it, you know, because like she said, preserve your childhood. My very loving cousin Barry got it for me. Thank you, cuz. Because my cousin's the one that taught me a lot of stuff that I know.
Yes.
He's the one that taught me how to fight.
Okay.
He's the one that, you know, got me into the violent video games. You know,
right.
Starting with the first Resident Evil.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, hey, you want to play video games? Sure. My mom's like, yeah, it's cool. Resident Evil.
Yeah. By the way, I've got to have you try Dead Island sometime. Oh my god, it's so scary. I put it on par with the first original Resident Evil.
Okay. Now, but, I mean, we were children back then, but that was creepy.
Yeah, these ones, they just, like, charge right at you. You don't know where they're coming. Sometimes you do with, like, the screaming and whatnot, because you have to see... You hear a zombie roar. You gotta judge where they're gonna be coming.
Yeah.
Sometimes it helps, sometimes it doesn't.
You have to think, what, the original Resident Evil is, what, 15, 16 years old now?
Almost, yeah, actually.
So, I'm about to turn 25, so I'm saying I was, like, 9, almost 10, playing this game with my cousin.
Yep.
That stuff still creeped me out. I thought zombies were in my closet.
Yeah.
Especially that one that hung down from the ceiling.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I thought he was in my closet. I forget his name now.
Yeah. But getting back to the new Blood Raider trail game. In the demo, you're given the first two levels, and it stops right before the start of the boss battle, which I'm kind of sad about because it looked like it was really cool. It was like this huge mechanical spider that was trying to get at you from the top. Well, no, you're on top of the mechanical spider.
Yep.
And, like, it has its appendages, and it's trying to beat you down with them. So you gotta escape from them. Why do you think it... I don't know how he thinks of these pornographic things when they talk about... Dude, you were doing the thrusting away.
I was dancing.
Oh, okay.
Hands back and forth is dancing. Up and down is dirty.
Okay, fine. Now, what was cool about this game is there was a lot of good meleeing, especially with the vampires, and good stuff to avoid the harmful, like, lights. Like, if you're in a lighted area, your health bar starts going down, so you gotta find a way to destroy them. What I also liked about this demo was if you're low on energy, if you get to another vampire, you knock him, and he kind of does that little sway where he's a little dizzy. You grab him, and you suck his blood in order to get the energy, and they turn into a skeleton if you do it right.
Whoa. I kind of want to play it now.
Yeah. Now, goodbye. There is a ton of button mashing, which might hurt the fingers. I remember my trigger finger was hurting a lot because of all the shooting I had to do. And it does take a little bit to figure out how the special attacks work. Because it's a bit of a hassle to try to do the backflip when there's a high area that you get to get up to. I remember it took me like at least 6 times each moment to do it right. Now, as I mentioned, that the graphics are more of a comic book look compared to the original 3D one. I will say that while it's not as cool as seeing it in 3D CGI with the high definition graphics, I do like the appearance of this. But I do want to say that I hope that they do more of a full-on Blood Rain sequel that's disc-based and looks more realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, Blood Rain Betrayal demo was loads of fun, great mechanics throughout the game, and I'm still wondering how the boss level will turn out at the end of level 2. For this demo, I give a 4.6 out of 5.
Nice.
Why don't we move on to the movie that we went and saw?
Yeah.
Wild Target. So, this was a movie that I heard about last year. It's a British action comedy, and it stars a couple of my favorite actors and actresses. You got Bill Nighy, who plays Victor Maynard, who is a hitman. And he's given this task where he has to assassinate this woman, played by Emily Blunt, her character's name Rose, who did the old switcheroo with a picture, or the Rembrandt.
A Rembrandt, yes.
And he kind of starts falling for her and decides not to do it. Well, come to find out, if he doesn't do it, someone else will.
And now he's protecting her.
Yep. And another person comes and joins him and sort of becomes his apprentice. Tony, played by Rupert Grint, which a lot of us will know as Ron Weasley from the Harry Potter movies. And when I saw this, I was surprised that this didn't get a much wider release here in America because of the actors that are in there.
Yeah.
Having said that, Bill Nighy was kind of different from his last movies. He had like this different tone from him. Because if you've seen him in like Love Actually, Pirates of the Caribbean, Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, he was more outgoing.
And this one, he's Mr., you know,
to himself.
Kind of like a mama's boy.
To him, Mr. To himself.
Yeah, you know, he lives in his mom's old house.
With the plastic sheets still all over the
plastic
stuff.
Plastic coverings over everything.
Yep.
I'm surprised the cat didn't have a plastic covering.
Who said he didn't?
They were carrying the cat, petting him.
Yeah.
And then they somehow made him pink.
Mm.
Still don't know about that one. But the movie had that dry British humor that
they
didn't hate the movie.
Right.
But you chuckled. And I had to take a couple minutes and remind myself it's not an American movie.
Right.
This is British. Think of their humor. And I thoroughly enjoyed this movie.
Yes.
Especially the very beautiful Emily Blunt.
Yeah. And again, I'm surprised that this didn't get a much wider... They're, you know, a release here in America. It only got a limited run here. because of it. But I don't know why it did, but because it's a British film, I do not know.
Yes.
We've got Bill and I, you got Emily Blunt, you got Rupert Grint. We've also got Rupert Everett.
Yes.
Who played the gangster who hires Victor to kill Rose. Who, those of you who don't know who Rupert Everett is, you might have seen him in My Best Friend's Wedding, and he played Prince Charming in the Shrek sequels.
Yes.
So, it was really cool to see him do something more live action this time around, because for the most part, I've only really seen him in the animated stuff.
It's one of those names you recognize, but you have no clue what they look like.
Right. And I'm sorry, I thought that Rupert Grint did a great job in this film, especially with him being like the accidental professionalist with the gun.
Yes.
Like, first time he fires a gun, he shoots the guy in the leg.
Yep.
Second time he shoots his ear off, and that was a good effect.
Yes, it was. He comes walking out, ear covered, holding the ear in his hand.
Yep.
He shot my ear off. There they go! Car chase!
And I gotta say, when I've seen the car chase, especially with the type of car that that Emily Blunt and Bill Nye were driving, very reminiscent of an old 1960s film by the name of The Italian Job.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Italian Job, they had the Mini Coopers. The old ones. This one also had the really old ones. I believe it's the same model that that Michael Caine drove in there. And I just liked how that chase sequence ended. You just saw Rupert Everett just get thrown right out of the vehicle.
Oh, yeah. He's laying there on the hood. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. But what I did like about the film was how both the characters of Rose and Tony slowly got Victor out of a shell of sorts, because when you first meet him, he's kind of to himself, not very talkative. Even when he was with his mother, he wasn't that vocal.
Exactly. And then finally, you know, he had fun, and you see him partying because they actually did something for his birthday to truly celebrate.
Yeah.
And he had a great time, and he started to open up, and him and Rose kind of had a thing.
Yep.
Which was kind of cool to watch. You know, considering he's an older guy, and, you know, you don't see that much in movies, the older guy and the younger woman.
Yep.
It's usually frowned upon.
Yeah, but I think Woody Allen kind of, I don't want to say made it okay, because you saw it in, like, Whatever Works with Larry David and Evan Rachel Wood.
Yes.
But here, at least, I think it was, they did a really decent job. And it's not like a stupid, immature type of falling in love. It was more of a mature aspect of it.
It was kind of cute, too, though.
Yes.
I mean, I love the fact that you see her smiling and dreaming and all that stuff, and then she wakes up and it's his mom trying to kill her.
Yep. Mom, everything's under control, and she blows down the door with, what type of shotgun was that?
It was an over-under 12 gauge.
Because I've never really seen many of those.
A lot, they're used for skeet shooting, and they used to use them a lot over in England.
Yeah.
Not only for skeet, but they use them to shoot, you know, fowl and geese and stuff like that.
Yep. Now, I don't want to spoil too much of this film.
Spoiled it!
All I'm going to say is this. You learn that you should clean out your gun periodically.
Yo, P.S., if you don't clean your gun, it could be a huge headache in the end.
Exactly. That just how they did that, too, was just amazing.
Truly.
So, for my grade for this film, I'm going to give it a respectable 3.8 out of 5.
Okay.
Because while it did have its dry moments, it was a British dryness that was good. And I enjoyed the film. And I do believe that maybe it should have deserved a little bit much of a bigger theatrical release over here, considering who was in this film. Not to mention, they just did a good job overall with the script.
Yes. I'm going to go in your area, and I'm actually going to hit with a 4.
Okay.
You know, basically exactly what you said. You have to remember that's a British humor, and it actually works. Mm-hmm. And just some of the stupid lines.
Yes.
Because, you know, Mr. Ron Weasley, when they get over to the farm, he's like, is this a cow?
I've never seen one.
It's a lot bigger in person. And you can't stop laughing because it's like, dude, you're dumb.
And you gotta give it to Rupert Grint because he kind of gets out of the Ron Weasley element. He's not typecasted in this film.
Which I liked.
Yeah.
And you know, he shot somebody twice. Very badly.
Yes.
Poor man, he still survived.
Yeah, that was the surprising part.
Granted, they tried to, you know, kill him a couple times.
Yep.
I'm going to slice his throat. No, no. Okay. Mark Stone says, I'm going to slice his throat. She comes walking in. Ooh, I'm not doing nothing.
But yeah, I think that's about it for today's show. Unless there's anything you want to add for anything that you've been up to.
Sons of Anarchy Season 4 started.
Okay. Yes. Did you see the first episode?
Yes.
Talk about it.
It's Sons of Anarchy.
Yes.
Do I have to explain?
Well, for those of you who haven't had a chance to see it, like...
Then there's something wrong with you.
Oh, well, I mean at least for this episode.
Okay.
Because I'm sure there are a lot of people that have seen it. They've seen this show. It's very popular.
All right, well, what you find out in the show is... It starts off with them actually getting released from prison after 14 months.
Okay.
You know, you find out some different things. You see Jax actually standing there with his shirt off like he always does. But you see these scars on his side, and you try to figure out, well, what the hell happened?
Yep.
As the story goes on, you find out that Jax actually got shanked in prison by the Russians.
Yep.
Over business.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they get out. Everybody looks different, of course. You know, Jax has a haircut. He doesn't have the long hair anymore. He has like a buzz cut.
Yep.
Juice doesn't have that mohawk anymore. He's got a full set of horrible-looking hair. I really hope he goes for a mohawk again.
He probably will. It's just the first episode, so...
Yeah, because he looks really creepy. And he's reunited... They're all reunited with their families. And at this point, Abel is actually a toddler.
Yeah.
And they have their second child, Thomas. Because remember, at the end of last season, Tara was pregnant.
Yep.
So they've skipped the pregnancy, which is the smartest, you know, easiest way to do it.
Yep.
And now they have a child.
Yep.
So.
And then Opie and Lila.
They get married.
They get married. And Jax proposes to Tara.
Yes. So. There's a lot that's going to be happening. I'm not going to ruin too much. But if you're a Sons of Anarchy fan, this is going to be one of the best seasons, according to Kurt Sutter himself.
Mm-hmm.
Who I actually was trying to figure out why he did what he did at the beginning. And then when you see how he finishes it, it's like, hell yeah! Go Otto!
Yep.
So, I'm going to end it with that because I don't want to give away too much.
Okay. I believe you can watch these episodes on demand if you got like Comcast or Verizon.
Yes, they actually have the first one up. They haven't put the second one yet.
Yeah. I think it might be up today.
They've been running like a week late with those lately.
I noticed that when I was watching the TV show Welfare, they would always be a week late.
Yeah, I hate it because according to the commercials, it's supposed to be on the day after.
Yeah.
And with Sons of Anarchy, I have to work at night, so I'd love to come home and watch it in the morning.
Exactly.
But,
mm-hmm.
SOA, baby. Woo!
Alright. Well, we can end it at that if you'd like.
Well, I want to throw one more pitch for another show.
Okay.
Ultimate Fighter.
Okay, yes.
This week.
Our buddy Tateki Matsuda is going to be on there.
So, good luck to Tateki.
We're going to be rooting for you.
So, we can move on now.
Okay. So, that about wraps up this episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. Remember, visit our website at bostonbastardbrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew. If you have any comments, questions, any requests that you would like for us to talk about, you can reach us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck. Anvil is on it, Anvil63. We got the Facebook group, the Facebook page. We're on YouTube at youtube.com/electricsisterhood because it's the whole Land of Esh thing. And, well, I think that's about it for mine and the absent Luonix part.
Yes. Check out our Sisters of the Electric Sisterhood at esh.mobi. Show them some love along with Geek Aggro, The Vagabonds, Gamer Reaction, The Issues Guy, JC Sargent. Also check out Matt the Wad, CageTitanFC.com, Richo Photography, yep. Get Punched, Team Perdulce Ray. You know, they're all on Facebook.
Yep. Now, this coming Friday, we're going to, well, Anvil and I at least, are going to try and make it out to the Royale in Boston for the show of Fucked Up and Waves. It's going to be this Friday. Doors open at 5:30. Tickets are only $15 and it's all ages. So anyone can come to this. And Fucked Up are one of those bands that no one should really miss. They put on some of the most amazing shows. Because, I got this, Damien is one of the most amazing frontmen I've ever seen. And what's cool about him is, while he's acting crazy and all, you got the whole band up there trying to top him with their amazing guitar, bass, and drum skills.
Well, I had to go with my Damien look.
Yeah. Well, you've always got the Damien look.
Yeah, well, he's always got the beard, and I figured I'd go with it this time.
Yep. So. Let's see if anyone can guess which one is which this time around. Because last time, he accidentally shaved his
arm. But the first time, when I actually had the beard and the shaved head, people couldn't tell us the difference.
Yep.
So, it's always fun. And great time hanging out with everybody, you know, with Fucked Up. It's, you know, Damien's a great guy, so.
So, I'm looking forward to seeing him again.
Definitely.
So, yeah, remember, this Friday, doors at 5:30 p.m. at the Royale in Boston. If you don't know where it is, Tremont Street. Right across from the Wang Theater and the Wilbur Theater. That same street. It's a really great club because we've been there. Yep. We were there last time.
I was there. We're not going to get into the story.
There was an incident, but we won't talk about the incident.
That was a few years ago. We're not going to talk about it.
Back when the Royale was, what was
the Roxy.
The Roxy.
I'm talking 4 years ago now.
Yep.
So we're not going to get into that.
We won't. We will save you from that.
It should be a good time. Also, you know, keep watching out. We're going to be doing some charity projects coming soon to help raise money for the North Shore Cancer Walk. We're starting early this year because we're actually setting a goal of trying to raise $15,000 this year.
Jeez, really? Yes. You think it can be done?
Well, we're doing the calendars. If we sell all 1,000 after doing paybacks, it should be $10,000 alone.
Okay.
So I think we can get 15,000 if, you know, we can get some support.
Now, these are going to be 2013 calendars, correct?
They will be 2013.
Because we were originally going to be trying to go for 2012, but we
ran out of time really quickly.
Yeah, I'm glad that everyone else understood what happened with that.
So I want to get them out there and work with Cage Titans. And, you know, I know Matt over at Get Punched that they'd help us out because, you know, Matt's a great guy. Everybody at Get Punched is awesome.
Yeah, the guys at Get Punched are great. I met them for the first time this past Saturday. Very down-to-earth people. And those are the type of people I like dealing with. Those that are down-to-earth.
And, of course, Richo Photography said that they'll help out because Richo is just a great guy like that as well.
Yes. So, take a look out for any of these upcoming events. And we'll post them on Facebook. We'll talk about them on the website. We're just going to try and get them out there as much as possible.
So, just keep an eye open because we're going to be doing a few things.
Yes. And on that note, I think we should just stick a fork in this podcast.
Yes.
So, until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
And this is Daniel.
Saying sayonara, bitches.
We are the Bastards.
Let me show you why you should clean out your gun casings once in a while. Wait, those were the worst assassins ever. We never got into that.
Wait. Assassin. Bruce.
That's how the British assassinate.
It's like, I've got it against the back of your skull. Let me make sure you're dead.